Francis's approval, he was allowed to by all his associations with home and family. Our holy patron looked so sickly and unpromising, since he had traveled to Assisi just after recovering from his illness. He was sent to a small convent to recover near the central Italian city of Bologna. He was perfectly happy there to have menial duties in the kitchen and lose himself in study and contemplation. He never let one word show of his learning or even of the sublime communication of his soul with God. He listened to everyone and only spoke when obliged, until an accident made his talents known to his superiors and from them to the whole world. At a meeting of Dominicans and Franciscans, none of the Dominicans who had been invited were prepared to give a short sermon. Our brother Anthony was called up and asked to do so, but tried to excuse himself and had to be compelled by his superior. It was then that under obedience he spoke with such eloquence and erudition that the whole assembly was astonished. He was only 26 years old at the time. The news of the discovery of his talent was sent quickly to St. Francis, who sent Brother Anthony to deepen his studies in theology and to teach sacred doctrine afterwards. Over the next few years, our patron taught all over Europe, in Bologna, Toulouse, Montpellier, Padua, and Limoges. In addition to his duties, he preached wherever he traveled, until finally he was asked to take up preaching as his primary duty. It turned out that he had always been perfectly docile to the work of divine grace informing him for this duty. This showed in the pleasantness of his appearance, his strong, clear voice, his excellent memory, and a perfect mastery of the rhetorical arts. Moreover, by his assiduous work, he was well versed in the sacred scriptures and had an excellent talent of exposing their meaning and applying them to different situations. All of this was nothing compared to the heavenly anointing with which he spoke. It was clear that he had in him the light and fire of the Holy Spirit, by which he was able to speak with great eloquence and zeal. It was because of the fruit not only of his years of intellectual study and of practicing every virtue that his words had the power to pierce the hearts of his hearers. His own soul was aflame with the love of God, and by this flame he was able to kindle the same love in the hearts of his hearers. He never lost his desire to die for Jesus Christ, and now had an ardent desire to see his love for his Savior burn in all hearts. Having prepared his soul by ardent prayer and the practice of virtuous living for so many years, he was above the reach of all temptations that could warp his integrity or make him weaken or disguise the maxims of the gospel. He had developed the ability to preach to all audiences, from the very learned to the most simple. He was able to oppose the fashionable vices and the growing heresies of his time with equal vigor and success. In Rome, Pope Gregory IX called him the Ark of the Covenant for the great treasures dispensed in his preaching. In France, he was called the Hammer of Heretics, of how often he could bring the most notorious of heretics to repent and return to the fold of Holy Mother Church. So arduously did St. Anthony push himself, so zealously did he work for the kingdom of heaven, that he found himself at death's door at the age of 36 and passed away on the 13th of June, 1231. St. Francis of Assisi, who had passed away before him, was canonized in less than 2 years after his death. Our St. Anthony of Padua was canonized in less than 1 year by the same Pope Gregory IX. 20 years after his death, when a new basilica was built by the Franciscans in Padua in his honor, another Franciscan saint and general of the order, St. Bonaventure, and his tomb open, and it was found that his tongue and lower jaw were perfectly preserved, incorrupt. These relics can still be venerated in the Basilica of Padua in their reliquary above the high altar. St. Bonaventure is known to have exclaimed, "O blessed tongue that didst always praise God, and has been the cause that an infinite number learn to praise Him. Now it appears how precious thou art before Him, who framed thee to be employed in so excellent and high a function." 357 years after his death, our own St. Francis de Sales went to Padua to study canon law in the excellent university established by the Franciscans. He must certainly have spent many hours in prayer before the relics of our dear St. Anthony. Could it be that by the sojourning Ark of the Covenant that he became the patron saint of journalists? Or perhaps it was by the intercession of the hammer of heretics that he was able to bring 70,000 Calvinists back to the Catholic Church. So why is he famous as the saint who helps us find lost or misplaced things? This is because when his commentary on the Book of Psalms was stolen in Montpellier, France, the same thief was compelled by an unknown force to bring it back to him under the pressure of many prayers sent to heaven. There are three things to take away from the life of our dear patron. Firstly, every Catholic should read the Bible. St. Anthony worked diligently to study the faith so that he could draw closer to God and help others do the same. We can ask for St. Anthony's help from heaven in understanding what we study. After all, we cannot love what we do not know, and the study of the scriptures is the best way to come to know God. Secondly, we should not simply accumulate interesting trivia about the faith, but we should try to understand it well enough to explain it to others. Let us ask for our patron's help in investigating topics that interest us, or even difficult questions that are asked of us. Thirdly, as a true Franciscan, St. Anthony lived in a second life. We can again ask his help to help us carve out time for silence in our schedules and discern which things and relationships are not helping us to become saints. While we admire the graces and extraordinary gifts with which God was pleased to glorify St. Anthony, we must not forget that he was raised so high by divine grace, only because, through the paths of self-denial and humility, he had learned perfectly to die to himself and to be nothing in his own eyes. Pride makes our hearts an abomination to God and puts him at the greatest distance from us. This is the deep wound of our souls. The mainspring of all our passions, the deadly poison of virtue, the fortress of the devil, and also the source of all dishonors. If we perfectly root out this evil of pride, then will divine grace begin to establish its reign and display its treasures in our souls. The honors of the altar are not granted to hypersensitive and weak souls that flee from profound thought, bitter suffering, and the battleground. That is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although God's constant grace accompanies the willing on the road to sanctity, it does not cancel the human struggle against the pull of our fallen natures. The marks of the effort are to the saint what the scars are to the soldier, their true glory. For St. Anthony of Padua, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son.